Hello, folks, and welcome. We actually haven't planned who was going to host this, so I'm just going to start speaking. So it's lovely that we can once again join together online whenever we're watching this, and to have a chat about what's going on. So I'll just speak very briefly about what's happening at Clooney Money Musk before I hand over first to Sheila, and then to Stella, and then to Joshua, and then to Neil. And we'll see that we've got two other guests with us, and we'll be introduced when we get to these points. So Money Musk, last week I said that there'll be two meetings of the Mainland Music Group. We're actually deciding just to go with one meeting, and it starts a week on Wednesday. And that's going to be, we're actually using the large hall at Money Musk and a small hall adjacent, so that it's two halls rather than just two meetings using the one hall. So that's starting, and we're looking forward to that. And I think that's it. We're worshipping now in Money Musk for the month of September, services at 10 o'clock. So that's all I think that I need to speak about for Money Musk, because there's a lot going on. Sheila, what's happening at Echo Midmar?
Well, good morning to everybody. It's good to be with you today. I'm going to be on Sunday morning with the people of Blair Daff and Chapel of Geary, leading worship in Chapel of Geary. The ministers from September onwards are going to be leading worship at Blair Daff and Chapel of Geary on a rotational, regular basis every week. So in Echt Church, for Echt and Midmar, this week our worship is being led by members of the congregation, and we'll be using our joint online service of worship as part of the worship in the building. So we're really looking forward to that. It's a new way of working and going forward. The next in Midmar on the 12th, leading worship will be the Reverend Ian Thompson, while I'm on annual leave that Sunday. Midmar Church is going to be open again on the first Wednesday, I should say, of next month. We've had some issues with water and electricity connections up there, but the church will be open again for a time of reflection and contemplation. So looking forward to this Sunday.
Good, and I'm sure we all are. Stella, what's happening at Blair Daff Chapel of Geary?
Well, we're delighted to welcome Sheila and, of course, the other ministers here in rotation, as we now open every week from now on. So the general rule of thumb, if it's odd and looks like a no, we're in Chapel of Geary. If there's an even date in the month, it's in Blair Daff. And that's pretty much an even split right through this year and next. And we're going to be tidying up after the wedding on the Saturday. So we're wishing all our best to Laura and Liam as they set off on their new married life. And just great to see the combines out there in the fields and our farmers keeping busy. So we wish them a safe and successful harvest. Thank you.
I have to be honest, I'm still trying to get my head round or even when you're meeting. No doubt it will make more sense to me once I'm thinking it through. We're also from Blair Daff Chapel of Geary. We've got Karen joining us. Karen is here to share with us, and she's going to be taking notes at our steering group meetings. So we just thought, we've been talking about that. Karen was involved, and it's a way of getting you to know Karen a wee bit. So welcome, Karen. It's great to have you with us. Joshua, what's happening at Kemney?
Hello to everybody. Nice to see you all today. In Kemney, we're continuing with Sunday worship at 10 a.m. in the morning, and the broadcast of this joint service in the evenings at 7 p.m. And on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we'll continue running our lunch club at the church center, which runs from 12 o'clock until 2 p.m. And this is primarily aimed at people that we have tried to be of assistance to during the time of lockdown, vulnerable members of our community. So we'll continue with that effort during the coming week. We also have a meeting of Kirk session coming up as well, and a meeting of Presbytery this coming week, which of course we're also looking forward to. So that's a bit about what's happening in Kemney at this time, and more things will be kicking off in the weeks to come.
Thank you. And I love when you said that with a straight face, that you're looking forward to Presbytery. It's going to be special because Joshua is nominated as the new moderator of Prisbane. We wish him well in that role that he's about to take on. Anil, you have a guest with you who's going to become a well-known face among us. Would you like to introduce your colleague?
Yes, thank you very much, Ewan, and hello, everybody. It's a great pleasure to welcome with us today the Reverend Tose Shaimunda. Tose is a minister of the Reformed Church in Zimbabwe, but he's in the process of transferring his ministry to the Church of Scotland. And so, Tose, welcome.
Thank you. Welcome, Mimi.
Lovely to have you here. Tose will be with us at Kintore for the next year as he does a familiarization placement and familiarizes himself with this new strange world of Scotland that he's been dumped into, he's landed in. But we're delighted to have him with us at Kintore. Some news about what's happening here is that the 19th, which is the coming up shortly, will be the first Sunday that we have Messy Church running again. So watch out for that. And then we're also aiming at the 19th of September as the first day when we have teas and coffees after church on a Sunday. Obviously, that's been closed for a while because of COVID, and we're going to be starting that up again. And the rest of the things are just the normal things that we do. Two things have starting shortly, not on Sundays, are a Wednesday night Bible study, which starts on the 8th. And that is A Hitchhiker's Guide to the Bible. Everybody's welcome to join us either in person, or there will also be a Zoom option if you can't join in person. And that runs from 7:30 to 9 p.m. And then on Sunday, the 19th, also the 19th, is a Meet Jesus course, which the idea there is that if you would like to prepare yourself for or explore the possibility of baptism or making a personal profession of faith, then you could come along to that. It will run for about 4 or 5 weeks, and we'll talk through what it means to follow Jesus. And at the end of it, you'll have the option, if you would like to either be baptized or to make public profession of faith. And obviously, everybody else in this group is welcome to come along to that course. That will run, on a Sunday night from 7:30 as well.
Thank you. A busy time had by all the congregations. I should have said one of the things of jumping in and starting is that next Sunday we're going to be having an afternoon coffee morning. That sounds wrong. An afternoon coffee gathering at one of our members' homes at Needley, outside Moneymusk, and that's running from 2 o'clock. You just pop in and pop out, and anybody will be made most welcome to attend. It's an outdoor event, so it'll be safer, and I hope that's okay. And before I go, Stella's got her hand up, and I think you've just remembered something as well.
I just did. Our outdoor services are on the afternoon of the 5th at the Old Blair Duff Kirk, led by Ewan, and the afternoon of the 12th at Logie Durnow Church, led by Neil. So both those services are at 2:30. So all welcome to come along to the outdoor services, and hoping for good weather. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm preaching this morning, so I'm going to be speaking about the difficult challenge of Jesus calling a woman a dog. And we'll be thinking what that is. You can work that one out. It's not an easy piece to preach on or to follow, but it's about persistent faith. So this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice together and worship him. And thank you for joining with us for this online presence.
Called by God, we have come to give thanks. Called by Christ, we've come to follow. Called by the Spirit, we've come to find strength. Called together, we've come to offer our worship and to receive God's grace. Let us pray. Eternal and ever-present God, in these moments together, we come to pause and to take stock. We come to worship and to draw near to you. We come to hear your voice of affirmation and encouragement. So wherever we are today, here in our communities, here in our world, but most of all here in us. Let us find faith. Let us recognize hope. Let us sense love. Merciful God, we acknowledge our need of your understanding and even forgiveness, as well as your love, for things thought, said, and done, or not done. So we're sorry for the times someone stretched out a hand and we pretended not to notice. For the times someone or something didn't seem attractive to us and we looked away. For the times truth was on our tongues but we resisted speaking it. For the times love was in our hearts and we were too embarrassed to express it. For the times we were paralyzed by worries or fears and we didn't trust you with our deepest concerns. And for the times faith was in our minds and we didn't know how to talk about it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all love and compassion, your commitment to us is unwavering and as sure as day follows night. By your Spirit, transform the dark or difficult places in our lives and bring light and hope to our living and our believing. For this we ask in the name of Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord. Amen.
Bible reading today is from Mark 4, verses 24 to 37. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep it a secret. Right away, a woman who had heard about him came and fell at his feet. Her little girl was possessed by an evil spirit, and she begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. Since she was a Gentile, born in Syria and Phoenicia, Jesus told her, "First, I should feed the children, my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord. But even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates." "Good answer," he said. "Now go home, for the demon has left your daughter." And when she arrived home, she found her little girl lying quietly in bed, and the demon was gone. Jesus left Tyre and went up to Sidon before going back to the Sea of Galilee and the region of the 10 towns. A deaf man with a speech impediment was brought to him, and the people begged Jesus to lay his hands on the man to heal him. Jesus led him away from the crowd so they could be alone. He put his fingers into the man's ears. Then, spitting on his own fingers, he touched the man's tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." Instantly, the man could hear perfectly, and his tongue was freed so he could speak plainly. Jesus told the crowd not to tell anyone, but the more he told them not to, the more they spread the news. They were completely amazed and said again and again, "Everything he does is wonderful. He even makes the deaf to hear and gives speech to those who cannot speak." Thanks be to God for the reading from his word.
Shall we pray? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Do you know there are passages in the Bible which I would rather skip over? Because, well, frankly, I find them uncomfortable or challenging to my simple mind and even more simple faith. I have a simple faith that can be summed up in the words of the children's hymn, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." I may have studied theology at university, though not as long, I know, as most of my colleagues, and have spent a career in trying to teach from the Bible, but these simple words still sum up my faith better than anything else. Words which speak volumes of God's love for me. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." But there are passages which, on the face of it, shake that simple faith. Passages which are confusing or frightening, which on first reading make me cringe or cower in fear. And the first part of our lesson today is a case in point. I'm sure many people recognise the story, which includes that wonderful line, "Even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." But the story is very complex, and even worry this confrontation with Jesus, which over the years has had a number of people making different interpretations. In the build-up to the story, it's important to recognise where Jesus was at. And according to Mark's Gospel, Jesus had been teaching probably in the northern half of Galilee, and his teaching had been challenging. He was, prior to our reading, speaking about tradition handed down through the elders and the teachings that they upheld. It was heavy stuff, and he was challenged by the scribes and the Pharisees, not about what he'd been saying, but about their actions. They were trying to get at Jesus through his followers, and they were being picky about what they could find to complain about. You know the sort of people. We find them in all walks of life. You know the sort of people who will complain when a lawn is cut, but the stripes are not parallel, rather than seeing the grass has been cut at all. They fail to see the big picture. And this is what was happening to Jesus. We can all use the law for our own benefit in ways that suit us, because the law is subject to interpretation. I, as one of the people who advise on church law, I've always believed that the law should be there to help rather than control. But how we use it determines who we are. They didn't care for the big picture, these folk. They were looking at the minutiae of details, trying to be picky and find fault. And Jesus meets them head on and calls them, among other things, hypocrites. He tells them they see and follow the traditions of people rather than seeing the bigger picture of God. They are being guided by rules made up by the past and not by God. It's a fantastic response to this challenge and for me puts my faith into perspective. Do I follow the traditions handed down from the elders of the past, or do we follow God's way? And in a time of challenge and change, what is God saying to us today, to the church? And are we being held back by the tradition? It's aye been that way. Anyway, after that confrontation, it appears Jesus heads north out of Galilee to the land of Tyre and Sidon, where maybe he just wants to chill for a while, have a quiet time. We know he had quiet times in the Gospels. He needed that break. But we can assume that he needed to be alone, because when he reached his lodgings, he didn't want anyone to know. Don't tell a soul. But human nature took over, as this healer, this teacher had come, and people soon wanted him to help them. Even this was a land not of Israel. This was Gentile land. Yet people wanted the services of a holy man, a Jew at that. Can you imagine if someone came to Monymusk or Echt or Kintore or Kemney or wherever you're watching this and wanted to remain incognito? It would not happen. Word spreads, and in smaller communities like ours, it spreads quickly. I recall I found this to my, well, it was a warning to me in my early ministry here in Monymusk. For not long after starting, I picked up the list of visits that my predecessor left and visited an old lady in Tillyfury, 3 miles outside Monymusk. After visiting her, I said I was going to visit Jeannie on the way home to the manse, unthinking that she would immediately phone Jeannie and prepare her for my visit. And before I got there, she knew all my news, and the kettle was on for my visit. You can't keep things secret in small communities. And I wasn't anything but famous. Jesus wanted peace and quiet, but it wasn't going to happen, and the word got round. And as it happened elsewhere, so people came to speak to him, to see him, and to get help from him. And so we turn to that first part of the story of the woman who came seeking help. For me, it's a difficult story because of the language used and the inference that we can glean from that language. The woman, our Bible tells us, the woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. She is Greek, or at least from a Greek background, and is almost certainly a Gentile in Jewish eyes. But it is like most mothers who wanted care for her ill daughter. She goes to ask a Jewish leader, a Jewish holy man, for help. In some ways, the images of the last couple of weeks, we have seen families trying to hand their daughters to foreign soldiers over barbed wire-topped walls, simply in the hope that they'll have a better life. It's heartbreaking. Yet most parents would do all they can to help their children. And so this Greek Gentile woman goes to this Jewish holy man, hoping that he can help her daughter. I'm not going to touch on the daughter's illness, for in Jesus' day, many illnesses were explained by evil spirits. Save to say that she was ill, whether in mind or body or spirit. And her illness caused her mother distress through her love of her. The difficulty that I have is what happens next. Jesus says to her, "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Wow. that say to you? First, let the children eat all they want. Implies to me that Jesus is saying the children of Israel, the chosen people, are to get the first claim on his ministry. That doesn't sit well with me or my simple faith, although at this point in Jesus' ministry, it's important teaching. And Alan Cole, in his commentary on Mark's Gospel, says, and I'm paraphrasing, that during his earthly ministry, Jesus had a strong understanding that he was to seek out the lost sheep of Israel first. And he taught his disciples not to deal with Gentiles. And when you read the version of this encounter found in Matthew's Gospel, that's made even more clear. For Jesus' words to the woman included, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. But this is excluded from Mark's account. And to return to that encounter, Jesus follows up his claim to feed the children first with this explanation. For it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Wow, my confusion grows, as does my unease. It appears that Jesus is saying, no, can't help you. You're not one of the chosen people. And then to compound my distress, he calls the woman, and let's not forget her ill daughter, a dog. Is this the Jesus who loves me because the Bible tells me so? He's demeaning her and her kind in the language. I have to say, the language of the era, when Gentiles were often described by Jews as dogs, unclean, as a dog would eat almost anything put in front of it. Willie Barclay, in his commentary, says that he uses a version of the word dog, which is kind, almost jokingly. But other translations or commentators don't say this. The language was as hard as it seems. But as often some say, the result of those who transcribed the scriptures in the early days, who had prejudice against Gentiles. For most of the early writers were Jewish Christians. For me, I have to think more about this, because for me, it leaves that flavour of a slur. But the woman's reaction is amazing. Remember, this is a time when men and women were segregated. Not as much as we imagine life might be in Afghanistan now, but women had little authority outside the family home, for it was a patriarchal society. And for a woman to be publicly dismissed by a religious leader would have in all likelihood been the end of the matter. But not for this woman. She didn't give up. Her love for her daughter meant that she was going to be driven on. And even this apparent rebuke and rebuff, she wouldn't give up. And so she responds brilliantly, brightly and wittily. Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumb. This is an image that all who heard the encounter, or all who would later read about it, would understand. It's an image that I can remember from my early days here in the manse, with our dogs sitting under the table at mealtimes, hoping to get some scraps. And Jesus relents. He's impressed with this answer. Then he told her, for such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter. In Matthew's account of the story, we read, then Jesus said to her, woman, you have a great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. Mark's Gospel, as most would agree, was the first of the Gospels written, and probably the basis for Matthew and Luke's, with, of course, common and individual sources. And I suspect, to make more of this understandable to the early followers of Jesus, Matthew included the faith is necessary to receive a blessing from God. On first reading, it is a difficult passage. And I don't think many, apart from the super scholars, would disagree with that. But when we explore it, it opens up more. Let's think about that woman. In her desperation for help for her daughter, she went to Jesus. Why? She did so because she believed he could help her. She didn't just go to some complete stranger. She believed that he could help her. I wouldn't go to an electrician to fix my roof. I would go to a roofer. I would go to someone I believed could help. And she, as a Gentile, had faith that Jesus could help her. But her faith was tested in response to Jesus' challenge. But more, her faith, I could say, was probably stronger than mine. For she recognized that even crumbs spilt from Jesus' table could help her. And Jesus did help her. Passages such as these, which perhaps may seem difficult at first, offer encouragement as we are reminded of the power and ability of our Lord. They can also be a bit of discouragement, for we've all faced difficulties in life. Maybe you have, like me, prayed prayers of faith and have yet to receive the answer you hoped. But we must remember that this woman was persistent. The initial response was dismissive, but she persisted. While he doesn't always answer in the time or manner we hoped, we must remain committed to the Lord and depend on him to meet our need in his time and according to his will. He knows what we need, and he has the ability to provide. I don't know what you're facing today, but I am certain that Jesus is aware of your need. If you're struggling in life, desperate for his touch, come to him in prayer, a prayer of faith. Trust him to meet your need according to his will. A Greek Gentile woman came in faith and was received by Christ. He will do the same for you if you come to him in faith. Jesus can save you, but you have to believe in him and perhaps recognize that even the crumbs from his table will feed you fully. That is faith. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are our friend and our companion in every part of life. You are with us in the streets. You are with us in police stations. You are with us on curbsides, at takeout restaurants, in hospital waiting rooms, and even in the hallways of governments. You are with us in the extraordinary moments of life and in the mundane moments. You are always with us. You are always knocking on the door of our lives, waiting for us to welcome you in, to admit our faults, to forgive and be forgiven. Lord Jesus, as you walk with us, and as we walk with you, give us the courage we need to do the things that cost the most. Help us to love mightily, to give tenderly, and to forgive lavishly. Holy Spirit, bring us your comfort in this time. Soften our touch. Blend our voices together, cleanse our minds, and fire up our hearts for the work at hand. Now, Lord, as we try in our lives to bear witness to you, we ask for your guidance for our actions, for our words, and for our thoughts. Now, Lord, we do confess that every day is a true gift from you. You are the one who continues to breathe life into our bodies. You set our feet on the path of each day. And as we continue in our lives, we pray that you will continue to open and keep our hearts wide, so that as we live our lives, we will truly see the face of Jesus in everyone we meet. Loving God, you know better even than us the burdens that we carry. And we take comfort in the great truth that you carry us when we are sorrowful, when we feel broken down, when we are surrounded in the deepest grief and we feel unable to go further. We praise you for your presence with us in such times. And we ask you, Lord, whatever we are facing, to give us the rest that we need. Give us your peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Almighty God, because you love us, you do break into our lives. You upend our sense of control, and you turn over our tables of normalcy. You love us too much to leave us where we are at. And instead, you call us further into the way of holiness. So in this time, help us, as your children, to seek your will and turn back to you in every aspect of our lives. And in the next few moments of silence, we bring our hopes, our concerns, our dreams, and our burdens into your loving presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. As a sign of our faith in you, we now join our voices in the prayer that Jesus taught to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Go now in peace. And may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you and those you love, now and always. Amen.